Turn your Bibles then with me. It is Genesis chapter 49, verse 3. Declares, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excelling in honor. Yes, you are excelling in power. And now comes the caveat. Turbulent as the waters. Oh, you're excelling, you're progressing, but you're turbulent as the waters. That is, you are unstable. You will no longer excel, for you went up onto my father's bed, your father's bed, onto my couch, and you defiled it. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Lord, have mercy upon us. And it is Moses now talking. Jacob was talking before. And this is Moses now talking, and Moses says this, let Reuben live and not die, nor his people be few. Let Reuben live and not die, nor his people be few. I want you to put your Bibles down, and I want you to talk to some of your neighbors that is yet investigating your life. Some of your neighbors and some from your household that think that you have no reason or right to be where you are, to have what you have, and though you may brag about your or exhibit your gifts and talents, they are wondering, what's up with you? There's something about you. I want you to look at somebody, and you talking about you now. You ain't talking about your neighbor. I want you to look at that neighbor and tell them, say, neighbor, I'm favored but flawed. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them, I'm favored but flawed. That is that he didn't favor you because you are all that and a bag of chips. That in the midst of your flaw, God saw something far more inherently greater than your shortcomings and your pitfalls. Sit down for a little while. Let me close this thing out. Hallelujah. And I want to kind of just piggyback a little bit to say, truth is, in some capacity or the other, all of us have some weaknesses within us. Am I right about it? If you look closely, you will discover that like the rest of us, you still have a little dirt or soil on you. Well, yes, whether Abraham, Moses, David, Jeremiah, Peter, or Paul, we all are soiled and stained by some secret blemishes one way or the other. But unlike Esther in the classic 1850 novel, The Scarlet Letter, we cannot go around wearing our flaws like a badge of dishonor. If you desire to lead a meaningful, productive life, hear me today, you've got to remind yourself that you are far more valuable than your shortcomings and the negative stigmatizations that they have placed on you. I was walking through the door this morning. I mean, just walking through the door, and the Spirit of the Lord dropped a quote in my spirit I've never heard before while I was meditating on the word. And the Spirit of the Lord says, weakness makes fools of mighty men. Weakness makes fools of the mighty. But weakness turned inside out makes conquerors and champions of the weak. You're missing it. Weakness makes fools of the mighty, but weakness turned inside out makes conquerors and champions of the weak. You ask David about it. David might have had a moment of weakness, but he turned that weakness inside out, and David became one of the greatest champions and conquerors that we have ever heard of. I've got to say it loud and clear. Why? Because I believe that every weakness in me contains within itself an undeniable component of strength that is purposefully, that if purposefully capitalized and utilized, can turn me not only from average to extraordinary or from zero to hero. My weakness can revolutionize every microscopic smidgen of my life. Weakness, brothers and sisters, hallelujah, makes fools of the mighty, but weakness turned inside out makes champions of the weak. Truth is, you may not want to believe it, but your weakness, the thing that caused you the worst embarrassment, can indeed become your greatest source of enlightenment and empowerment. But you've got to take an aggressive approach towards the eradication of these maledictions, because personal flaws can transmute, it can morph into an internal chronic hindrance that haunts and torments you for the rest of your life. You gotta say amen. Now, I've already told you weeks ago that gifted people are troubled people. The very fact that they are gifted makes them an open target for spiritual attack. The enemy then looks for your weakness, and then in order to cut you down, he penetrates you at the point of weakness. You have to understand, however, that sometimes instead of just looking at it as a weakness, you've got to see the strength that emerges out of it. The fact that I am a passionate guy makes me vulnerable. You have to understand that your passion, you got to have passion. Passion is the driving force that pushes you on to success. Passion is the thing that makes you desire more than average. Passion. Some people just don't have the get up and go spirit. Passion to go after it. I mean, hallelujah, like a bear, amen, standing on the edge of a rock trying to get the next salmon swimming upstream. You've got to understand, my brothers and sisters, that at your weakest point, if you can take your weak point and flip it around and turn it upside down or turn it inside out, that's where your power lies. The enemy knows that. And so what he will do, just like a boxer, hallelujah to God, he connects a good punch and he realizes, amen, that he hits you in the eye. The fight is not over because you got hit in the eye. The strategy then is for you to use the good eye, hallelujah to God, in order to defeat the enemy. But the enemy will keep pounding you in the bad eye, in the injured eye, in order to cut you down. Somebody say amen. I come to tell you, however, that at your weakest point, there you will find grace, hallelujah to God, from above. You've got to see it here as we go on to look here at this text. The very fact that the gifted makes them, their gifts makes them an open target of spiritual attack. So now, marked by greatness as the firstborn, we find Reuben. Reuben was highly favored. Reuben was privileged. Reuben, hallelujah to God, was one that was fortunate. Reuben. But his promiscuous life, bitterness obsession, drove him to commit one of the most detestable moral offense imaginable. The Bible says he went up on his father's, he defiled his father's couch. He went up on his father's bed. And in fact, theologians would say that not only was he taken in a fault, but that he raped Bilhah, his father's concubine. Oh, we're coming to it here. In other words, you've got to understand, in order to ruin his future prospect, the enemy infiltrated his sexuality with a lewd spirit of debauchery, lewd spirit of instability. Hallelujah to God. Mastered then by this lascivious spirit, the devil found, amen, a leeway to penetrate and to tamper with his passion in order to sabotage his destiny. Consequently, we read in Genesis 35 and verse 22 that now we see where Reuben went in and slept with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And one part says wife, and some translation says concubine, but we understand what that really is. News of this scandalous escapade quickly reverberate, Mother Johnson, throughout Israel, throughout the entire city. Jacob is in a state of public reproach. Yes, he is. But instead of imposing instant retribution against his firstborn, apparently he just let it go. I come to tell somebody, sometimes you just got to let some things go and let God handle it in his own time. Oh, you know, you ain't gonna hold on to this. Sometimes you got to let it go and let God deal with it in his own time. I heard him says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Oh, God have mercy. Jacob stood still on the matter. Hallelujah to God. And here now he's just, he let it go. 40 years later, I want you to write it down. 40 years later, in the final moments of Jacob's life, Jacob released a very damning prophecy. Reuben, you are my firstborn. Yes, you are excelling in honor. Yes, you are respected not only in my house, but you are respected in the community. Yes, Reuben, you are excelling in power. Whatever you put your hands to, it begins to grow. It begins to proliferate. It begins to extend and expand. You are first in rank. Yes, you are first in power. Yes, you are first in line to everything, to twice the amount of everything that I have. Watch this. But now here comes the caveat. He says, you are as unstable as water, as unruly as a flood, but you will be first no more. You will no longer excel, for you went to bed with my wife. You defiled my marriage couch. Oh my God. One should never underestimate neither the power of a blessing or the power of a curse. If you didn't hear me say anything today, then hear me say this. One should never underestimate neither the power of a blessing nor the power of a curse. We've seen the blessings of God manifested throughout the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It is Abraham that God said, Abraham, if you can count the number of stars in the heavens, that's how much I'm going to bless you. Abraham, despite the fact that you left your father's house and you have nothing in your hands, I'm going to put a blessing on you. Hallelujah to God, that if you can count the sands of the seashore, then you'll be able to number how much blessings I'm going to bless you. There is power in a blessing. And that's why I say to the believers, instead of cursing even your enemies, you should speak blessings over their lives. That when you wake up in the morning, you got to speak blessing over your life and everything that moves in your house. Are you hearing me, somebody? They told me the other day, some 2 years ago, that there was a woman downtown, a
witch. Hallelujah to God who goes between dim lit candles naked as she calls my name, asking Almighty Lucifer to kill me, not knowing that Almighty God is with me, watching over me. Are you hearing me, somebody? And if God has bless you, can I tell you that no man curse. You may find yourself stumbling just a little bit, but honey, when it's all over, shout, I'm coming out on top. I feel God in this house today. Hallelujah to God. Never underestimate the power of a blessing. And when God blesses you, he blesses everything with you, around you. Hallelujah, somebody. But can I tell you, hallelujah, that a blessing, that a curse is just as powerful as a blessing, but only more destructive. Are you hearing me, somebody? Before you open your mouth to curse somebody, you better think about it twice. In 14:880, in 1480, at the beginning of the Inquisition, hallelujah to God, there were thousands of Jews who lived in Spain, and within 3 years, the expulsion of all professing Jews, hallelujah, was initiated in 1492, the year that Christopher Columbus, amen, sailed to America. King Fernando, hallelujah, Ferdinand, hallelujah, and Queen Isabella, they signed an edict expelling all Jews from Spain. And when they did that, they just expelled God from Spain. Did you hear me, somebody? One should never underestimate the power of a curse. Spain became a great nation, and they were extending her empire far and wide. However, Spain began to decline, and her empire, hallelujah, disintegrated. History shows that Spain has never returned, hallelujah to God, politically, economically, nor culturally, to her former glory. She lost her glory when she expelled the people of God. You got to understand that there are folk that carries the presence of God, the anointing of God upon their lives, and that the only reason some people are blessed is because of who they're with. You all ain't got to say nothing. 500 years later, still this day, Spain is considered, I looked it up this morning, Spain is considered one of the poorest nations of Western Europe. Today, Spain is not only struggling economically, it is spiritually dry and desolate. No significant spiritual revival ever occurred in Spain since 1492. Somebody better lift your hands and say, oh God, bless me. And why all of these adversities? The answer is to be found in Genesis chapter 12 and the verse 3, where God says to Israel, I will bless those who bless you. I will bless those who bless you, Israel, whether it be ancient Israel or spiritual Israel. God said, I will bless everything that bless you, everyone that blesses you, and I will curse, come on somebody, I will curse those that curse you, will be cursed. I I want somebody to know that we the believers, we carry an anointing. We carry a grace. Blessing follow us. We don't chase blessings down. Blessings follow us. Open up your mouth and begin to confess it. I am blessed. I am blessed. Shout, I am blessed. You may not see it, but I'm blessed. I may not have a dollar sign in front of it, but I am blessed. Somebody say yes. One should never underestimate neither the power of a blessing nor the power of a curse. Help me, Jesus. Notice the tragic paradigmatic shift that occurred in the life of Reuben with the favor of God over his life. This minute he was heading on a fast track. Reuben is excelling and rising towards a promising future, paved with nothing but good fortune and success. But once he, amen, once the mantle of divine favor, hallelujah, was lifted. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Once that mantle was lifted, things started changing. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. In a matter of seconds, his whole life began to plummet like the stock market crash on Wall Street. One sumptuous, sumptuously blessed and highly favored, but then he finds himself in an economic downturn, which eventuated in recession, and then the rest of his life was spent in an unavoidable, interminable depression. Are you hearing me, somebody? When God takes his hands of blessing off of your life, expect recession, but it will end in depression. Come on up in here, somebody. I'd rather have Jesus than the whole wide world. Put together, him the Jesus. It is critical to note two things here. Number one, you've got to recognize that despite the challenges, it is God who gives you the power to rise above the challenges, to rise above your colleagues, and it is God who supplies the sustaining grace that allows you to remain on top. Don't get it twisted. The minute you take your eyes off of God, I come to tell somebody, you are going down like a rock falling. You're bound to hit the ground. Ain't got to say amen. Just don't do it. Number two, here is my simple advice. Never forget that those who have been given the authority to speak blessings over your life also has the power to impose curses over your life as well. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. God has placed within you the power to enact blessings, to speak blessings over your job, over your boss. There are companies that are blessed because of who works for them, not because of their intelligence, but God expand their borders and their resource in order to keep his daughters, sons and daughters fed. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. But bosses, supervisors, they must be aware that the same ones through whom the blessing comes, they have a power to whisper in secret in a corner, a curse that will turn their lives 50 years back. You don't hear me, somebody. You don't hear me, somebody. Respect and honor. You've got to understand, respect and honor produces blessings in your life. But this honor and this grace, hallelujah to God, induces curses that not even a Supreme Court judge can reverse. Somebody say yes. Reuben, can I talk to you? Obtain divine favor because of Jacob, because of the patriarchal blessing, the patriarchal anointing that was upon Jacob. You remember Jacob, don't you? When he went to Padan Aram, that the reason why, even though he was robbed and cheated, but that the livestock of his uncle Laban expanded and grew, the more wicked Laban became, the more his house was blessed. Why? Because of Jacob. Come on, somebody. You better look at your neighbor and tell him there's a blessing in me. I got something in me that can bless your life. You gotta be careful how you treat me. God, I feel it here. I'm talking to somebody out there. Reuben obtained favor because of Jacob, his father. And when he dishonored, when he mortified, when he emasculated, when he maligned and stripped his father naked, eventually a regressive backward spirit of impotence and failure was released in his life. You better not take me back down. Reuben's life was on the rise, but the minute the prophecy was uttered, the man who was excelling, hallelujah, at the speed of light in all of his endeavors, was reduced and banished to a state of infertility and instability. Did you hear me, somebody? Did you hear me, somebody? If God is blessing you, then you continue to praise God. If God is blessing you, do not allow pride to drag you away. If God is blessing you, do not become enticed by sin, by debauchery. If God is blessing you, leave no room for idolatry. If God is blessing you, keep on blessing him. Keep on praising him. Keep on giving him glory. Keep on singing. Keep on serving. Come on, man, somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. If you're blessed, let me see it. If you're blessed, let me hear it. If you're blessed, you gotta show it. If you need a blessing, come on and bless him.
Lord have mercy. Here it comes again. I just heard the Spirit of the Lord says, your job is secured. Your position is secured. Lord, I feel you in here. I feel you in here. Somebody lift your hands and praise him. 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 Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up and praise him. The minute the prophecy was uttered, the man who once excelled in all of his endeavors was reduced and banished to a state of infertility and poverty. Reuben, you had better be careful how you mess with the property of a man whose life is bound by a covenant relationship with God. Reuben, you better be careful how you tamper
with the property of a God-fearing family, lest while you are sleeping, they're on their knees crying out to God for justice. Why? Because with just a few words softly spoken in 2.5 seconds, your entire world could flip from placidity, hallelujah, and luxury to infertility, to infirmity, to poverty, and absolute misery. Help me, somebody. Reuben was gifted, fortunate, privileged, and progressive, rising and climbing to precipitous heights of greatness and prominence. But because he lacked discretion, he lacked the moral compass, along with the righteous rectitude necessary to govern, hallelujah, with integrity. His blessings was revoked, and the future marred and imperiled by a blistering prophetic pronouncement of poverty, insufficiency, and destitution.
Be seated for a moment. Reuben
had a most detrimental character flaw that obviously was never dealt with. Whatever your flaw,
so don't get excited, think I'm patting you on the shoulder and commending you because you got a flaw. No. I'm just trying to help somebody that once you discover your flaw, you don't allow your flaw to destroy you, to discredit you, and to cause you to lose the favor of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yes, yes. Whenever your flaw, whatever your flaw, don't embrace it. Don't caress it. Don't play with it like a secret toy or a little kitty cat. No matter how gifted and anointed you are, never you overlook your flaws and think that you can use favor to disguise your flaws. No, you got to get rid of it like a bad rash, or it will leave you scarred for life. We got to make some deliberate, drastic efforts to sterilize our lives from these malignant toxicities that plagues our lives. Otherwise, our flaws have the potential to booby trap our dreams and derail our future. When David discovered sin in his life, come with me, he cried out to God Almighty, create in me a clean heart. Give me a pure mind. Give me a clean conscience. Give me a righteous character. Oh, cleanse me, oh God. Please wash me with hyssop. Oh my God. Thank God for Jesus. Wash me with the blood. Please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. That is what a godly man is made of. A godly man is not one that cannot make mistakes. A godly man is not one that is insusceptible to faults and flaws, but a righteous man is one who, when he sees, hallelujah to God, this testable acts in his life, he rushes to the altar. He doesn't put on a suit and a tie to cover it up, but he buries himself on the altar in consecration until God, hallelujah, make him over again. Y'all gonna make me hurt myself today. According to the Levitical laws, help me, somebody. You've got to understand here, hallelujah to God, the depths of sin and what it brings. It seems apparent that Reuben had it coming to him, because for years Reuben never really took any therapeutic measures to purge and detoxify his sexuality. And if you don't stop and pause to identify the primary cause in order to deal with the repentance
repulsive flaws, you're going to suffer the irrevocable consequence of violating God's laws. In other words, Reuben, you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Lord God, the enemy wants to wreck you. The enemy wants to destroy you. You got too much awaiting you. Oh my God, touch somebody and tell them you got to get yourself together. Oh, don't touch your neighbor. Come on, look at somebody, tell them you got to get yourself together. Oh, don't look straight at me now as if you ain't got no flaws. I said, tell your neighbor you got to get yourself together. You got to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Levitical laws. According to the Levitical laws, this reprehensible offense was punishable by execution. You didn't act like that. Like, get up on your daddy's stuff, and they say stone you to death publicly in front of everybody so they see and fear. Ain't you glad we in 2020? I'd rather take 2020 with a pandemic that's trying to kill the world and the grace of God than living back in them days. You hear me, somebody? I remember days right here in America where if a black man looked at a white woman, that was enough to have you hanging high with a rope around your neck. You hear me, somebody? But ain't somebody glad for grace this morning? Ain't you glad for grace? Oh, don't look at me funny. Ain't you? Don't look at me funny. All of us came here today because of grace. Oh, my Shandaba. Come on, you better give God thanks for grace and mercy. Give him thanks for grace and mercy. Oh, God. The Levitical law says that this reprehensible act should be dealt with immediately by execution. But for 40 years, watch this, for 40 years Jacob, hallelujah, gave Reuben a chance to repent. Why it took 40 years? You think that Jacob was a punk? Oh no, Jacob was a good daddy. What loving father understands the power of a curse? What good sense, hallelujah to God, affectionate mother knows the power of a curse, but would curse her daughter, curse her little grandchild, hallelujah to God. You're gonna be nothing. You're just gonna be like your no good grandfather. What good parent in the world does that? Jacob held off for 40 years. Oh, come on, here's somebody. Come on, here's somebody. And the Bible tells us he was giving him a chance to repent. Reuben showed no remorse, no apologetic, redeemable qualities. So when Jacob summons all his sons 40 years later by his bedside, his feet are feeble, his hands are weak, hallelujah to God, his eyes are dim. Come with me. But he's about to execute the greatest ministry of his life. Where upon conclusion, he will close his eyes, and the next time he opens them, he is in paradise. Come with me, somebody. So when Jacob summons his sons, Reuben was quite excited. 40 years, hallelujah to God, they're gone like the shaft which the wind driveth away, thinking that the silence of his father meant that he was exonerated from the wrong he committed 40 years ago. At his daddy's request, he rushed in. He is the firstborn. He is expecting to receive a double portion. Come on, somebody. Only to discover that judgment, hallelujah, is finally being served. served up in the form of a generational curse. Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? You will only be judged for the unconfessed sins. You will only be judged for those wrongs you committed and you cover it up. No man can prosper, hallelujah, if you cover up your sins. But as sons and daughters, run to the Lord and say unto him like the prodigal, Daddy, I've sinned, I've done the unpardonable. But since Jesus died, and since there's still enough blood that flows from Golgotha's hill, have mercy upon me. Against you only have I sinned and done this wicked thing, but blot it out, take it out of me, take out the virus, you have the antidote, take it out, Lord, take it out, Lord. I want to be clean, I want to be whole, I want to be right with God. Somebody open up your mouth and shout, God, God, save me while I have a chance. Lord, have mercy on me.
Unconfessed sins is either an act of ignorance or absolute stupidity. They asked Trump the other day, I don't know why they said it, but they asked Trump the other day, does he pray asking God for repentance? Does he repent? He says, me? I don't do anything wrong. I don't have any reason to repent. And I hear him as he reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar, and I said, oh God, humble me, for that is the worst state of a man. If you have no reason to repent, for in your own conscience, you've done no wrong. You do no wrong. I try to do everything right so I don't have to repent. Then, my brothers and sisters, you have just equated yourself on the same platform with God. You need neither the favor, the mercy, the help of man nor God. And that is the lowest state of any man. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? Yeah, you see, like a snake in the bush or poison in the cup, one should never ignore, refute, deny, or downplay your flaws. Rather, you've got to endeavor to disengage, extricate, and expel those entanglements from your life at the quickest chance you get. You're not hearing me. Instead of allowing them to linger, listen to Job chapter 11 and verse 14. Get rid of your sins and leave all iniquity behind. Oh, you didn't hear me? The writer of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 admonishes us with these words. He says, let us lay aside, separate it from your life, throw it out. Everything or every sin that hinders, watch this, and the sin that so, tell somebody, that's your weakness. The sin that so, I mean, the enemy doesn't even have to spread it on a silver platter. It's easy. No, the enemy doesn't have to come with it. He going for it. Are you hearing me, somebody? And you can say what you want to. Everybody got an easy temptation. Everybody got an easy sin. You think that all sins just have to be so immoral and detestable. I mean, sometimes rage and anger. I mean, it don't take jack because it's embedded inside of you. It's a weakness. And so Paul says, get rid of them. You got to move expeditiously to purge the heart through repentance and consecration. But having been forgiven, cleansed, and justified by faith, never you attempt to measure or appraise your self-value simply by your faults and your flaws, or you will never rise to become who God created you to be. I'm going to preach here for a moment. Never you allow a few flaws and faults to repeal, dismantle, cancel, or invalidate God's original intent for your life. Why? Because no matter what you have done, mercy awaits those who bow before God in penitence and contrition. Scripture made it clear that Christ died not for the good. He didn't die for the beautiful. He did not die for the strong. Rather, Christ died for the no good, the corrupt, the contemptible, the miserable, the ugly, the weak, and the scoundrel. And for them, he has prepared a place in the kingdom. Did you hear me, somebody? We all need to remind ourselves that a hint of flaw does not make the diamond worthless nor meaningless. In every faulty, defective areas in our lives, amidst every undesirable blemish, beneath every detestable flaw, amen, frailty or abnormality, lies an undeniable, indispensable treasure waiting to be unveiled. Because of the troubled past, they wrote you off. Truth is, I ain't gonna lie about it, it doesn't look good on your record. But despite the obvious flaws and scars, I'm compelled to tell somebody that God says, I see treasure in you. God help me here this morning. Like a terminal metastatic illness for centuries, succeeding generations of Reuben, Reuben's descendants, known as the Reubenites. They lived under an oppressive, interminable yoke because of the curse that was invoked by the voice of their grandfather, hallelujah, upon his son Reuben. They did not, hallelujah, commit the sin. In fact, they were not even in this existential realm when the curse was pronounced. But because they came out of Reuben, everything that was already in him was cursed from that time forth. Come on, somebody help me. For over 453 years, the curse Jacob received, it marred and crippled the future of the Reubenites. As a consequence, the Reubenites became the weakest. They were the most unproductive among the 12 tribes. The Reubenites studied theologically. No king, no prophet, no priest came out of the tribe of Reuben. The entire tribe was bound by a curse that migrated from one generation to the other. Lord have mercy. I feel like preaching here. Now this is quite frightening, especially when you understand that there are literally millions of individuals who are living in similar conditions, not knowing that their setback is not their lack of ability or progress, but because of a generational curse that have been imposed upon the family. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. A family member, hallelujah, in your past ancestry, a family member stole something valuable from somebody's house, and they lifted their hands before the sun and
and soar by the moon and the stars. Hallelujah to God, that whoever did this will never hold another penny in their hands. And so down through the generation, no matter how much money come through your hands, you didn't do it, but the curse was invoked, and now the curse is on you. $1,000 today, and by Friday you ain't got 5 cents. Hallelujah. You're not evil, you're under a curse. Hallelujah, somebody. But in the name of Jesus, I come to break every curse that the enemy imposed, like a dog bound by a leash, hallelujah, or a beast tied with a rope or with a chain. By no fault of your own, you find yourself bound by deplorable habits, hallelujah, and conditions you just cannot, shake loose. I come to tell you, it's a curse, and whether a curse or a blessing, every blessing comes with a spirit. Every curse comes with a spirit, a demonic spirit. But if the blood of Jesus be upon you, I drive out every demonic every demon operating in your life in the name of Jesus. Somebody say it.
Yes. There are individuals, hallelujah to God, they cannot get ahead or achieve any degree of success because somebody planted a seed of failure and defeat in their lives. Somebody placed a restraining order over the family, brilliant beyond measure, but cannot excel or accomplish any significant advancement. Why? Because there is a spirit of limitation, a spirit of restriction that has been assigned to create hindrances, to create impediments, to create setbacks. A lack of childbearing, hallelujah to God, cannot maintain a healthy marriage. Disappointments at every turn that you make. But in Jesus' name, I decree that every satanic proclamation, every prohibition that has been purposefully planted in your life, in your path, in your family, to hinder your progress, to steal your glory, be uprooted, be uprooted, be uprooted, wither and dissolve now by the sovereign power of Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. May your potential speak for you. May God have mercy upon you. May God have mercy upon your ignorance. Oh God, oh God, oh God, every one of the wells that they have blocked up, every well that they have blocked up, may God open up every well in your life. May God open up every stream of prosperity in your life. May God break loose, break you loose, break you loose from the chains they impose, the cords they're using to bind you, to hold your progress, in the name of Jesus. Somebody plead the blood, 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 the blood of the risen King, the blood of the risen Lamb. Somebody scream the blood. Hey, stretch your hands out. Stretch both your hands out. Shake your hands like this. Shake them off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Every person that tie me, every word they use to tie me, everything they use to bury my greatness, my pride, my glory, my dignity, shake it, shake it, shake it.
shake it off. We break enslavement. We break enslavement. We break spiritual enslavement. We break it from your life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You got to understand that a curse.
I'm gonna teach and preach on curses. Possibly for the next 2 months. Shebra katalabra shandabra. Shandalabra karabriandaba. Shandalabra karabriandaba.
Listen to me. Last year in the summer, God spoke to me over this pulpit. He says, every time you walk in this church, whether you come to preach, you come to pray, you come to study, or you come to visit, he says, walk over, stand right here, and over every pew, he said, to release blessings upon their lives, release blessings upon the people's lives. Refuge, you are blessed. Refuge, receive your blessings. Receive your blessings. Whatever has been buried, hallelujah to God, they are on earth today. We exhume them, even from their skeletal position, in the name of Jesus. And we declare by the authority of the sovereign Lord, let these dry bones live. Let these dry bones live. Let your bones, let your abilities, let your talents come together. May God flesh it out. May God flesh out your abilities, your gifts. Reuben, I speak life.
Say, you don't understand. You don't understand. Because y'all are too rich here in America to understand. But Caribbean folk will tell you that you live in a small little country, community, where nobody in that community owns a car to go to any place else. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You gotta make arrangements. God help you if somebody gets sick in the night. What ambulance you talking about? There might be a hospital, but what ambulance? Yeah, so when you live in a community like that, and you got children that are very bright, brilliant in school, they can go to class and goof off, but they the one that's getting the A+. And once that's discovered by that jealous, conniving, belligerent brute that lives across from you, yeah, they write your name on a piece of paper. They run down to their mother's grave, their relative's grave. They bury that piece of paper in the grave. They begin to cry out in the grave. And the next thing you know, all of your children are sick. All of your children are sick. And some of them, they were born healthy. All of a sudden, they're paraplegic. Come on and say amen, somebody. All of a sudden, they lost their mind. Spirit of madness and insanity takes them over. Spirit of suicide. Some of them are hanging their necks, hallelujah, to a rope on the limb of a tree because somebody put a curse on them. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the superior name of Jesus Christ, I don't care if it happened 40 years ago. I don't care if it happens 800 years ago back
in our ancestor. Hallelujah. In the line of your ancestor. In Jesus' name, I decree by the superior authority of Christ that may God's people be loose. Loose like Moses set Israel free. That may God Almighty revert back in time. And may God nullify the injunction. May God send it back to sender in the Namoshandala Masiatabrai. But may their children, may their offspring never reap the seed that your offspring reap in the mighty name of Jesus. Shandalaba, Shandalabe, I stand in my delegated authority, in my delegated pastoral role, and I decree prophetically in the name of Jesus Christ that every band that they put on you, that it is lifted. I declare, let Reuben live. You must excel, you must prosper, you must possess your inheritance, you must be greater than your great 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 grandfather. Come on, somebody. You got kings in your family, you got kings back in your generation. Somebody has unseated you, somebody has dethroned your family, but I command you, like Lazarus, rise up. Lazarus, rise up.
Hey, hey. Instead of saying, I will be somebody, I shall be great, I will be successful, begin to confess it. I am great. I am great. I am successful. I am successful. Shout it. I said, shout it, shout it. Your destiny is waiting for you to proclaim it. Whatever you are, everything you are was proclaimed by some voice. God said, God stepped out in the darkness and saw that the world was without form and void. And God opened his mouth and God said, let there be light. Open up your mouth. May your pathway be bright in the name of Jesus. Whatever has blocked and stumped, caused you to stumble, may it be removed. May it be vanished and vanquished. Come on, shout. Come on, shout. Come on, shout. Let Reuben progress. Let Reuben arise. Let my family, let my marriage, let my generation, let my siblings, let us rise. Let us run with the speed of the horseman. Somebody shout, yeah! I said, open up your mouth and shout it out. You get quiet too quickly. Hey, hey, hey. Y'all got to hang with me today because I got to fix Reuben before I leave. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You got to understand that a curse will remain unhindered. Sit down. A curse will remain unhindered, uninterrupted, unstoppable, and interminable unless it is forcefully lifted and overturned by the voice of one to whom spiritual authority has been given.
Come on, somebody. That's why you crazy. That's why some people lost their minds. That's why some people, your life is jacked up. Because every crook and pimp that comes to town wearing a white collar or an African garb, you run at their altar, and by the time you leave broke, for you gave them all your money to false prophesy into your life. Let me tell you something, the greatest prophet you will ever have is the prophet that speaks into your life every single week. Day in and day out. You better lift your hands for that. I'm here to tell you, you would have died already if you were dependent on foreign prophecies. Are you hearing me, somebody? But when God anoints your man of God, your woman of God, and pours a word in your life, you ought to receive it with excitement. You ought to receive it with exhilarance. You ought to receive it with gratitude and thanksgiving. Come on, somebody. If you give a foreign prophet, hallelujah, 2,000, you should be ready to bless your preacher, your father, more than you bless anybody else. For there is blessings and curses that is released from my mouth, and I declare in the name of Jesus that you are blessed. I overturn every wickedness spoken over your life and your future in Jesus' name. Elbow somebody and tell them it will be well with you. You didn't hear me? You better jump up and prophesy. Prophesy. Prophesy to somebody. Elbow somebody and tell them it will be well with your house. It will be well with your family. It will be well with your job. It will be well with your finance. It will be well with your future. It will be well with your son. It will be well with your daughter. All of your grandchildren. It will be well with your health. It will be well with your wealth. Come on, somebody, shout! You think about it. How long has some people be at a position of halt? In a place where nothing's going on. You were marching forward. Things were going well for you. Somebody intercepted, and now you find yourself at a standstill. Marking time. That place called delay. Delay is up today. I said a curse remains unstoppable and interminable unless it is forcefully lifted and overturned by the voice of one whom the spiritual authority has been given. Curses are not removed through psychological therapy. Are you hearing me, somebody? No, you need someone that has prophetic authorization to neutralize and deactivate it and then forcefully drive it out of your life. Jacob had the watch this. This is what God told me. He said Jacob had the patriarchal authority to make pronouncements over his sons' lives, but Moses was given the priestly authorization to decree, declare, and reverse pronouncements over the tribe. Are you hearing me, somebody? So for over over 453 years, the Reubenites were constrained by a relentless spirit of oppression and poverty, lack of progress, and premature death. Oh my God, but Patterson, according to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and the verse 6, hallelujah, while on his deathbed, Jacob had been dead now for 453 years, but now here it is, Moses, the great deliverer, the quintessential emancipator, hallelujah, he rises up, he's about to go, and all of his ministry, all of his 120 years, Norman, he has watched the 12 tribes, he has been their leader, he has made assessments of their lives, he sees Judah prospering because Judah is a praiser. Oh my God, have mercy. He sees the blessings of Levi, but when he looks at Reuben, he sees nothing but death and destruction. They're standing on the edge of disaster. Oh my God. And Moses opened up his mouth to rescind Jacob's verdict and lift the injunction with how do I say this? He speaks a word of healing. He speaks a salubrious word, a restorative word of declaration. Speak salubrious words over your mind. Healing words. Are you hearing me? You have to speak to yourself, because there are others that right now are standing in the corridors of hell speaking against you, bringing injunctions and accusations against you, saying you're worthless, you're hypocrite, you're nothing, you will be nothing. But you have to speak restorative words over your mind. You have to forgive the ignorance of your mother, your father, and the wicked auntie that raised you. Kobashandaba. Some of those grandmothers didn't know nothing about God. They were born a sinner and they died and they're in hell, though you'd like to put them in heaven because of their wickedness. But in the name of Jesus, some of you, they call you, you know, that kind of a B word for dogs. Yes, they call their girls that. And it is no wonder, hallelujah, that at 16 you find yourself pregnant. It was not because, please forgive me, a bitch is a dog. But you are not a bitch. Hallelujah to God. I'm not cursing. If you're educated, you'll understand. Hallelujah, somebody. You were not a bitch because you had a mistake. Are you hearing me, somebody? You are blessed because God blessed the womb and allowed the child to come. Do not look at the child in bitterness. Some of you hate your children because of how they were conceived. You call it a mistake, but God called it a miracle. Come on, somebody. Don't ever call her a mistake. Call her a miracle. For what you call her, that same spirit will follow her. Somebody lift your hands. Jay, I heard Moses says, no, enough is enough, is enough, is enough. How much more can the Reubenites bear? Let Reuben live and not die, nor his tribe become a few. May God, listen, if your grandfather, great 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 grandfather, worked only on the farm all of their lives, and your father worked all on the farm all his life, and if he didn't work on the farm because of the industrialized age, he find himself working in a factory, not as an engineer, picking up scraps and in the warehouse and
packing boxes and unloading trucks and never had the opportunity that you have. And at 30, 35, 40, 50 years old, that's all you're doing. This something must be broken. Some of the most brilliant people that ever walked the face of the earth are illiterate people who cannot read. So you blame them, you condemn them, you look down on them, you degrade them because they cannot read? No. No. Given the opportunity, some of them would have been scientists. Given the opportunity, some of them would have been taking you from country to country as a pilot. Are you hearing me, somebody? But some of them never had the opportunity. What is yours? So what's your excuse? I am saying to you, sometimes it migrates down through the generation. You're very ambitious. But dear God, as you get to a certain grade, to a certain lesson, to a certain level, you just find yourself falling back, losing interest, no desire. And you will leave life never mastering anything if you don't break this thing. Boy, I'm going to call y'all into fasting like you never believe. And I'm going to have midnight prayers right here. I know much of you not coming anyway. So we'll be safe. We'll be safe. We can have 12 feet apart. Because you're not coming anyway. But I'm telling you, strong man, arise. Arise. We got to deport this thing out of our family. We got to get it out of our house. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? I said we are offsprings of great mighty kings in the earth. Are you hearing me, somebody? I don't know about Europeans. I don't know from what stock they were taken. But I do know that when I go down to Ghana, West Africa, down to the Ashanti tribe from which I was taken, I find kings. Kings are in my blood. Are you hearing me, somebody? And I went down, I met the king twice. Are you hearing me, somebody? When I built that church, 800-seater, down in Kumasi, the king and his entourage showed up. Uninvited. But the king and his entourage showed up. They gave him the privilege to speak, and he stepped to the podium to declare, "I, the king, only came here today to set eyes on the man who came from the west to build us a worship center." And by the power of whoever God he serves, may he be blessed and his generation be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? The thing you seek is in you. It's simply bound. But in Jesus' name, we untie it today. Come on, this end this day. Like Moses, I've come. You see, the Reubenites would have continued that way until today had it not been that Moses stepped into their lives. Hallelujah to God to turn things around. And I believe that right now as I speak that this is a turnaround season for somebody. As bad as pandemic may be, God is going to give you some time in solitude so that you can break some things in fasting and in prayer. Like Moses, I've come to announce that the curse has expired. The curse has lapsed. The ban has been lifted. It has run its course. The injunction has been expunged. Hallelujah, somebody. Permanently removed from your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There are those who see your flaws and is quick to cast
past, amen, restrictive aspirations and judgments that keep you bound and hold you back for years. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God. Young woman, listen to me. Your business is blessed. Call her back for me. Give me all. Call her back for me. Hallelujah. Bring me all. Shebro Kabrandeva. Shebro Korabrandeva. Shebro Kotarabrandeva. Shebro Kotarabrandeva. Shebro Kotarabrandeva. I break. Korabra Shandabra Shedebe. Shekatarabrandeva. Shekatabra. Shedebo Shandaraba. Shekatabra. Shandaraba. Shekotarabrandeva. Shedebe Kotarabrandeva. Gilzin, let me go. They are those who see your flaws and they are quick to cast judgment, hallelujah, to keep you bound and to hold you back. But thanks be to God for a spiritual father like Moses, who comes into our lives with a restorative anointing to override and repeal, to revoke and reverse every burdensome restrictions, impositions, and limitations from off your life. Help me, Lord. Thank God for those who found us like prisoners dying in our cages and without being judgmental, spoke words of life and deliverance into us. Let Reuben live. Let Sandra live. Let Sophia live. Let John live. In the name of Jesus, we need godly progenitors, spiritual fathers who are bold enough to renounce sin, to renounce fleshly habits, to renounce indignity, but prophetic enough to pronounce and inoculate your spirit with life-changing pastoral benedictions. Come, let's go home. We need revolutionary voices that can speak life and power to our destiny, Debbie. Thank God for every spiritual father who, like Moses, look beyond our impediments, imperfections, to speak the favor of God over our lives by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. God sent me to tell you the curse ends here now in the name of Jesus. I command you to live, not just to breathe, but I call your hidden abilities, I call your buried greatness to come forth in the name of Jesus. May God cause all your giftings, your giftings, your skills, your talents, your endowments, and your potentials to rise, hallelujah, up like an eagle, and command you to step into your glory and live. I command you to rise up and step into your glory and live. Look at you. I command you to rise up and step into your glory and live. From the least of us to the very best of us, we are found with imperfection. But thank God, my imperfection does not nullify or abolish God's predestinated purpose for my life. The devil used your flaws, your weakness, and your struggles to keep you bound like a noose around your neck. But the Holy Ghost comes to turn you loose from the noose around your neck. Come on, somebody, get these chains up off of me. Come on, somebody, shake your neck, shake your hands, shake your feet, get these chains up off of me. Your glory has been detained by evil, sadistic curses spoken over your life. But like Balaam, God sent me to pronounce blessings, blessings upon your life, to pronounce hope and peace and favor, prosperity in your life. For years you have been made, amen, you are made to feel worthless, helpless, hopeless. But in Jesus' name, I release life into your innermost being, and I decree that may all that lies dormant and stagnant in you explode into zestful dynamism and come alive now and forevermore. Come on, somebody receive it. Somebody receive it. Somebody receive it. They've cursed you enough, so now let me bless you. May every talent, every ability, every buried treasure locked up within the faculties of your mind, may they burst into fusions of life, of light, vivacity, and possibility. Now, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands and give the Lord praise. Lift your hands, put it on your heads. I decree that whatsoever has they have confiscated your dreams, whatever they use to confiscate your dreams, to suspend your glory, in Jesus' name, I terminate that evil force that have held you captive. May the Lord overturn, topple over, capsize whatever spell they have cast to deactivate your strength in order to de-escalate your progress. May your whole being be regenerated, restored, empowered, and enabled to quadruple what the enemy wished you would never attain. In the name of Jesus, let Reuben live. Somebody bless the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, 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 bro. Yes, sir. Come on, somebody shout. Come on, somebody shout. If this is my last Sunday to preach, I got to finish what I hear God is telling me. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that may God lift every binding sanctions, every prohibition up off of your life by the fire of the Holy Ghost. May God repeal, may God repel, may God rebuke, may God revoke every unauthorized embargo that threatens your future. May the Lord invalidate, may the Lord nullify and reverse every unjust ruling and decisions that serve to undermine your prophetic destiny. May the Lord veto, may the Lord overturn, may the Lord disannul, may the Lord abolish every demonic declaration and resolution that comes, hallelujah to God, to bankrupt your purpose and relegate your future to nothing but spiritual obstructions and perpetual setbacks. May the Lord, somebody shout, may the Lord, I declare, may you experience a dimension of living you have never known before. May the Lord lay siege upon every evil intent of every witch that seeks to obstruct your path. And like a fiery shower upon Mount Carmel, may Jehovah Jireh soak your life with blessings from the river of life. May God freeze the tongue of every viper. May he shut the mouth and silence the voice of the avenger. May God suspend, may God cancel every restriction from off your children's life, so that instead of just a few, you evolve into a multitudinous army of greatness. May the Lord, instead of sickness, instead of setbacks, instead of poverty, instead of defeat, instead of disappointment, may the Lord bless you with its supernatural. May the Lord, may God turn around what was sent to hold you down, yes, and keep you bound. And may he make you as a fruitful cluster of grapes by the irrevocable decree of the Almighty. I hereby declare that the Reubenite spirit must be dissolved once and for all in the name of Jesus. The chains of suffering and oppression must be terminated. The stronghold of imprisonment and delay must be overridden. No longer will you continue to live by the bewitching proclamations of the poisonous demonic tongue. But in the name of Jesus, I interrupt the verbal assassination plots that have been launched against your destiny and your family. I speak insurmountable treasures of blessings into your life. Somebody shout, let Reuben live. Are you ready? 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 Three more minutes, and I got to close. Three more minutes. Oh God, it looked like more. Jesus, have mercy. Like Jacob in the house of Laban, may God cause you to recover all lost wages, including personal benefits and back pays with interest. May God bless you until financial investors, bankers, and stockbrokers burn with jealousy and envy. May the Lord bless you with blessings that flows like flood of water gushing from the rock of Horeb. May the spirit of divine grace enlighten and empower you with the mantle of uncommon favor. And may you, like Elijah, overtake the rider, outrun the horsemen, and retrieve every opportunity, four-footed, breach, challenge, denied, or stolen. May the Lord, whatever years of struggles have robbed you, may God restore, refresh, and fill your life with perpetual, unending resource from heaven's storehouse. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob receive it. Expel, dismiss, and discharge every residue of misery and suffering from your life. And may the Lord bless you with supernatural health, unprecedented wealth, and grant you continuous immunity from adversity. May the Lord, I close. May the Lord God, command the treasures of the heathens to chase you down and overtake you like a wanted man on the run. May the Lord lavish your life with what ambition and determination could not achieve, what hard labor could never earn, what luck could never win, what riches could never afford, what money could never buy, and what man could never give, and whatever death and the grave could never embezzle, defraud, steal, confiscate, or take from you. May the God whose loving kindness is better than life turn his face refuge towards you and set his affections upon you. May the God of Abraham, whose sustaining grace makes the heart glad, turn your tears into laughter, your cries of anguish into merriment, and instead of sorrow, may your countenance burst with gladness. May the Lord, who is rich in mercy, plenteous in supply, and abundant in all grace, give you joy like a fountain, peace like a river, love like a measureless ocean. In the name of Jesus, I decree refuge that every curse that God has reversed today remain reversed until the day of Jesus Christ. And this is where you should shout, instead of failure, favor is upon me. Shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it. Favor is upon me. Shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it, shout it. Favor! Open up your mouth and shout it. Favor is upon me. Favor is upon me. Refuge, those that are watching me, may the Lord bless you real, real good. Shout reverse, shout reverse, shout reverse. Lord, reverse every curse that has worked against me. Reverse it, reverse it. Every curse of affliction, every curse of infirmity, every curse of premature death, reverse! Y'all don't know how to rejoice? Y'all don't know how to rejoice?